Are you looking for a best friend? Well, stick around. We're going to talk about that on this episode of The Gary Zimak Show. Hey there, welcome. Come on in and make yourself at home. My name is Gary Zimak. I am sitting here in southern New Jersey just getting ready for the snow to begin falling. Man, I'll tell you what. From what I hear, we're going to get hammered by a snowstorm here, so I hope you're safe wherever you may be. If you're in the path of the storm, be safe. Let's pray that the Lord just spares us from any difficulties or danger in this storm. We're going to get a lot of snow here. I live right around the Philadelphia area, and they're throwing around this 2-foot number. Boy, that's a lot of snow. But thank God I'm in the house, nice and warm, ready to talk about Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church for the next 30 minutes. Today on the program, we'll take a look at your best friend as I continue this Friday series about getting personal with Jesus, how we can become close personal friends with Jesus. We'll talk about how He can be our best friend, but we'll look first at the qualities of a best friend. What is a best friend? What quality should a best friend have, and how does Jesus fit? And I think you'll be impressed with just how good He fits the bill for being a best friend. We'll also look at the Mass readings for Sunday's Mass, which is the Sunday of the third Sunday in Ordinary Time. And a couple of things that I want to mention. I was watching the March for Life earlier today, and I just wanted to encourage you. Eileen and I, we weren't able to get down to D.C., and it was just, boy, it could have been a really tough time down there. I give credit to the many people that went and were able to go to the Washington, D.C. area and participate in the March for Life, despite the threat of a major snowstorm. But Eileen and I went over to our parish. They had a perpetual adoration throughout the day. And one of the things I would encourage you about the pro-life movement, I know, you know, this is a day when we sit and we watch the coverage, especially on EWTN, because you're not going to hear this on any of the major network, the secular news media outlets. You just don't hear anything about the march. You know, it's funny, the one news story I did see was something on the local news commemorating the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision. And it was presented in a positive light, but man, I'll tell you what, when you really stop and think about it, and I think it takes a day like this to really sit down and focus on what's going on. When you think about the fact that it is legal for an unborn child to be murdered inside of his or her mother's womb, legally, by doctors in this country, it just has to make you, it just makes you shudder, because it just is almost unbelievable that this is that this is possible. And you hear some of the stories come out, you hear some of the commentaries by supporters of abortion, and I'm talking high level people. One of the things I don't do on this show, I don't like to get overly negative, because we've got a good message. We've got a message that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ founded the Catholic Church, that Jesus Christ is the answer to overcoming any problem that we could ever face. And there is so much positive news when it comes to our Catholic faith that I don't like to call attention to negative things. It's just not my style. I never started this apostolate to do that, and I'm going to stick with that. But I'll tell you what, when you listen to some high-level government officials, especially in this country, and they talk about it's wonderful that women have a right to do what they want with their own body, and they say that in reference to abortion, it almost makes me want to throw up. It really does, because abortion has nothing to do with a woman's body. It has nothing to do with a woman's body. It has to do with the body of a baby that is being killed by someone who is supposed to protect life, and that's a physician. I mean, we got to get real about this. And it's insane. It's insane that, and okay, you know what? I am going to say, because it's pretty obvious. It's insane that the President of the United States would make an idiotic statement like that and celebrate the right of a woman to kill her own child and equate it to being able to pursue our dreams. You can read the text. It is absolutely ludicrous that a statement like this could be made, and that people in this country, and even throughout the world, can say, yeah, that sounds good, this is all about women's rights. But look, that's what we're up against. And I'm not here to be negative. I gave you the negativity, you know it's out there, you've heard it before, you know it's nonsense. Especially when you look at ultrasound pictures. Ultrasound technology has gotten so good that it's very obvious that that's a baby in there. And yet some people still refuse to acknowledge that and still want to celebrate this decision that made it legal to kill that baby. Well, that's what we're up against. It's nuts. I know. Now, here's where I have to give you the other side of the story. The other side of the story is, I don't want you to get depressed. I want you to be shocked. I want you to be motivated. But I want you to remember one thing, and I believe this with all my heart, that God is more powerful than any of these forces of evil that we face. He just is. It's just true. You can search throughout the Bible, and you're going to see just how powerful God is. You can look at Jesus Christ rising from the dead. Whatever you need to do, it's obvious he is more powerful. Now, he does allow evil to exist. What we cannot do is become so frustrated and discouraged that we give up and that we stop praying and that we stop speaking out for life and that we stop trying to change the hearts of people who think that abortion is a good thing or who don't care. You and I, we know better. We need to keep moving forward. And we need to not become discouraged. So what I would tell you on this day is continue to pray. Don't lose hope, because this is not hopeless. Eventually we will win this battle. When, I don't know. But God is on our side. He's on the side of life. This is strictly a matter of life versus death. We're on the winning side. Don't give up. And continue to go out there. Pray your rosary in front of abortion clinics. Go to the March for Life. Speak out among your family and your friends. But what I don't want you to do is, number one, I don't want you to get discouraged. And number two, and this is hard because we get frustrated, we are not, and we should not, and we're not morally able to start making fun of people who are pro-abortion. We're not supposed to hate them. We're supposed to love them. I personally believe that anybody who realized what was going on wouldn't support this act of murder. And I'm going to choose to believe that. I'm going to give these people the benefit of the doubt because I can't hate them. Jesus tells me that I can't hate people who support abortion. Jesus tells me that I can't hate people who perform abortions. Jesus tells me I can't hate people who make it legal to have abortions. Jesus tells me that I can't hate people who come to these pro-life rallies and speak out against those of us who are on the side of life. I can't hate them. I just can't do it, because then I'm sinning and I can't sin. I don't want to sin. And I don't want you to sin either. So we don't hate them. We don't go on Facebook and call them names and say how much we hate them. That's wrong. You got to know that's wrong. So please don't do that. But yes, when the President of the United States or some of these other high-ranking officials, when they make statements that are so obviously in conflict with what's right, it's okay to say that. It's okay to say this statement makes no sense. But don't lose patience with your family members, with your friends, who may not see things as you do. Because we have to understand that not everybody comes up to speed on this life issue overnight. We've got a lot of negativity that we're working against. We're perceived as being the anti-choice movement. We're the people who aren't tolerant. We're the people who don't care about women. We're the, you know, I mean, you've heard it all. That's what we're up against. Keep on fighting the battle, but do it in a charitable way. Be strong. Do what you need to do. Speak the truth. But don't resort to calling names. Don't resort to getting angry. Don't resort to things that are going to cause you to sin. And above all, don't lose hope. Who knows how many years this will take? That's not up to you. What is up to you and what's up to me is that we stand up for life from conception to natural death. And that's not just abortion. That's euthanasia as well. That's anything that goes against God's ability to decide when life begins and life ends. It's not up to us to try to end life. So we need to keep on keeping on, and we need to not lose faith, okay? And I mean that. Hang in there. It will work out in the end. But our job is to just keep doing our best to speak about life. And it's good to see so many people care enough to go down to Washington, D.C. and to march in the March for Life. And I know a lot of people, personal heroes of mine, that are outside of these clinics, these so-called clinics, where these murders are taking place, praying their rosary in all kinds of weather. These are our heroes. If you can do that, I encourage you to do that. That's what you need to do. We need to take a stand for life. All right? Now, let's talk about, because it's really easy to get discouraged. I don't want you to get discouraged, because God is in control. No matter what it seems like, God is in control. Here's what I want to do. I want to pray, and then we'll go into the mass readings for Sunday. They're a little bit longer than normal. And then we'll talk about Jesus as our best friend. So we got a lot to talk about on the program today. I have a beverage du jour. Here we go. And today, it's a Mystic Monk coffee. Today's flavor is Royal Rum Pecan. So that's the flavor I got. Boy, that's really good. That's a nice taste. If you're a coffee fanatic, I want you to visit followingthetruth.com and click on the Mystic Monk image, and you can get yourself some Mystic Monk coffee, the greatest coffee that you have ever tasted, brewed by real monks passionate for fine coffee, Mystic Monk coffee. And every time you make a purchase through my website, followingthetruth.com, you help to keep this program and my full-time ministry going. While you're at it, if you shop from Amazon.com, you would help me greatly if instead of just going to Amazon.com, you would first go to followingthetruth.com and look down the right-hand side of my website and click on the link for Amazon from my website. What that does is that makes it, that flags it as coming from my website, and it results in a profit for anything you purchase. It results in a little bit of a commission for me. It helps keep this program on the air. And every little bit helps to keep my full-time ministry up and running, too. While we're at it, just keep in mind that I could use some additional donations, either one-time donations or if you'd like to become a monthly sponsor to this program. And remember, if you become a monthly sponsor, you can cancel at any time, even after making your first payment. You're not locked into anything. It's all done securely through PayPal. If you'd rather do it by check, you can do that as well. All I ask is that you send me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com, and I'll give you an address to mail a check. And you know the deal. I'm very, very grateful for your support through the years. This program is now in its sixth year on Blog Talk Radio, and I could not have possibly done it without your help, your prayers, your financial support. So thank you very much, and please continue to keep my work in your prayers, and be assured that you are in my prayers as well. Okay? All right. Let's get started with our prayer. And remember, we don't want to lose hope today. The Lord is in charge. Let's pray, and let's remember that the Lord is listening to us now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day to know you, to love you, to serve you. We ask you, Father, to continue to bless us and to pour out your grace on us as we attempt to one day, as we attempt to walk the road which will one day lead to eternal life with you in heaven. We're very grateful for the gift of another day. We're grateful for the gift of our Catholic faith. We're grateful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we ask you to help those who are sick today. We ask you to keep safe those people who are marching for life in Washington, D.C., and anybody who will be affected by the numerous storms up and down the East Coast this weekend. We ask, Father, that you help those who are struggling with anxiety, those who are lonely, those who are dealing with doubt or despair, those who are suffering and battling an addiction, those who are dealing with financial difficulties or religious persecution. And Father, we ask you to help us with our own personal intentions as well, whatever they may be. We give them to you. We ask you to handle them for us. And I give you this program today, and I ask you, Father in heaven, to speak through me, to use me to proclaim your message, and please to open our minds. We ask you to open our minds and our hearts so that we may be willing to accept the message that you have for us today. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask her for her prayers, as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for praying with me. I also want to remind you that I'd love to come to your parishes to speak. So you let me know if you're interested in having me come out to your parish. You can find out the information by visiting my website, followingthetruth.com. My main topic has always been overcoming anxiety. And is, in fact, if you Google Catholic speaker anxiety, you're going to find all of my information. It's really a blessing that God has enabled me to do this. And there are so many messages I'd like to bring to your parish. My main message, of course, is Jesus Christ. He wants to be your friend. He is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the answer to any problem that you could ever have. So that's my overall message. But I talk about so many different things. You could find a full list of my most popular topics by visiting followingthetruth.com. Alrighty, let's take a look at these Mass readings. This is from Sunday, January the 24th, the third Sunday in Ordinary Time. The first reading is a reading from the book of Nehemiah, one that we don't read from too often. Chapter 8, beginning in verse 2. Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which consisted of men, women, and those children old enough to understand. Standing at one end of the open place that was before the water gate, he read out of the book from daybreak till midday, in the presence of the men, women, and the children old enough to understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. He opened the scroll so that all the people might see it, for he was standing higher up than any of the people. And as he opened it up, all the people rose. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people, their hands raised high, answered, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and prostrated themselves before the Lord, their faces to the ground. Ezra read plainly from the book of the law of God, interpreting it so that all could understand what was read. Then Nehemiah, that is, His Excellency, and Ezra, the priest, scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to all the people, Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad and do not weep. For all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. He said further, Go eat rich foods and drink sweet drinks and allot portions to those who had nothing prepared. For today is holy to our Lord. Do not be saddened this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength. Now, this is going to become a lot clearer when we read the gospel today, but here we have an example of Ezra the priest bringing the law of God, before the people, and reading from this wooden platform, opening up a scroll, and reading the word of God to the people. Remember, this is the Old Testament, but the what is referred to as the Hebrew Scriptures existed prior to the time of Christ. The law is basically the Mosaic law, the law given to Moses. And he's reading this to the people, saying, Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad and do not weep. There is good news. And he's proclaiming the good news in front of all the people. Now, I want you to hold that thought, because when we get to the gospel, we're going to see a definite link between this first reading and the gospel. Today's responsorial psalm, Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The decree of the Lord is trustworthy, giving wisdom to the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The command of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eye. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true, all of them just. Let the words of my mouth and the thought of my heart find favor before you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. One of the great privileges we have is the having access to the Word of God. Now, as Catholics, we believe the Word of God is both the sacred scripture, which is the Bible, and sacred tradition, which is the apostolic teaching handed down from generation to generation, originated by Christ, handed on to his apostles, and then handed down through what's known as the magisterium, or the teaching authority, the teaching body of the church. It's a blessing because we hear the Lord speak to us through his word. Let's look at the second reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 30. Brothers and sisters, as a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit. Now the body is not a single part, but many. If a foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it does not for this reason belong any less to the body. Or if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it does not for this reason belong any less to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God placed the parts, each one of them, in the body as he intended. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you, nor again the head to the feet, I do not need you. Indeed, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are all the more necessary. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we surround with greater honor. And our less presentable parts are treated with greater propriety. Whereas our more presentable parts do not need this. But God has so constructed the body as to give greater honor to a part that is without it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the parts may have the same concern for one another. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts share its joy. Now you are Christ's body and individually parts of it. Some people God has designated in the church to be first apostles, second prophets, third, teachers, then mighty deeds, then gifts of healing, assistance, administration, and varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work mighty deeds? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now here's the message in this reading. The message is that you and I were all part, as members of the church, of this mystical body of Christ. We're part of Christ's mystical or mysterious supernatural body. We all have a different role to play. We don't have the same role to play, but we all operate in union with one another, or we should. You have different gifts than I do. And what we're called to do as Catholic Christians is to share our gifts, whatever they may be, with others, in the hope of building up the body of Christ. We are all expected to be Christ to one another. So when I go out and I use my talents, whatever they may be, I should use them to help draw other people closer to the Lord. And that this is a reminder too that we're all related. We're all related to one another through this mystical body. Let's look at the gospel. It's the beginning of Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately and new, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you. most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." Now that's a pretty powerful statement. If you see, there's a link between this and the first reading. And the key is that the Lord stands up before the people in the synagogue and he gives them the good news. And the good news is that he is the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah who was prophesied by the Old Testament prophets. Well, he's here now. Now, you can imagine what kind of a reaction he got. The people must have been shocked. But we are so blessed to have the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. The Word is the second person of the Trinity. And we have the Word of God. What is the Word of God? The Word is the teaching, the apostolic teaching of the church, which is known as sacred tradition. And also the written word, which is sacred scripture, sacred tradition, sacred scripture, the word of God. And we're so blessed to have the word so accessible to us. Now, with that in mind, we only got a couple minutes left. I spent a little time talking about the pro-life movement, but I thought I had to do that. Let's take a look at what I talked about at the beginning of the show, your best friend. And let's take a look at the qualities of a best friend. Reliability. Best friends are always there when you need them. Doesn't matter whether it's day or night, convenient or inconvenient, they're there for you. Interest. A best friend will always be interested in your life, even in the minute details. And you know, if you have a best friend, excuse me, in your life, they're always there. They always care about whatever's happening in your life. That's a great thing. A best friend is selfless. They put your happiness before their own happiness. And a best friend puts no conditions on your friendship. Nothing you can ever say or do will cause a best friend to withdraw their friendship. Now, let's look at Christ when it comes to these four criteria. How does he measure up? Well, does Jesus Christ, is he reliable? I don't know anybody that could say that Christ is not reliable. He is always there when you need him. And he said that too. He will always be there with us for the end, until the end of time. I would say that is pretty reliable. What else? Unconditional. He loves us with an unconditional love. There is nothing that we can do to ever change that. Does he put us first? Well, he died for us. He died for our sins. And I don't know how anyone could put me first more than that. So it's really incredible what Jesus did for us. And he certainly fills that statement very, very strongly. He does a very good job doing that. He puts me first without doubt. And also, is he interested in my life? Yes, the Lord is interested in even the minute details of our life. So with that in mind, what I propose is that Jesus Christ can be not only your best friend, because he certainly fulfills the requirements of somebody who is a best friend, but he can be best friend. And when we reject Christ's offer of friendship, which we can do, that causes him to suffer, because he's got a human heart. And he can feel things just like you and I can feel them. So what I recommend is that you continue to stay with me this year and get ready for our Lenten Radio Retreat, which begins on February the 10th, when we explore Matthew Kelly's book, Rediscovering Jesus. We're going to do that here, so get ready. That's going to be happening Stay safe this weekend. God bless you. God willing, we're going to see you on Monday when we start a new week of the Gary Zimek Show. Take care.